Shita. Is that what we're up to? That's why I say we should start out. See if I can find it. By the way, just a simple case of Xera, we were talking about the other day, that's not actually going to come to Doraisa necessarily, is, let's say, well, I guess you could work it out too. All right, okay, let's go on. All right, Vida, what are we up to here? Anybody see it?
Vidah.
Okay, so now every yitziyah is also a hachnasa in relation to the place that you're bringing it to, right? Every yitziyah can also be called a hachnasa in reference to the place that you're taking it out to. Okay, so if I take it out of my house, I'm taking it in to the street, right? So it depends on your framework whether it's a hotza or a hachnasa. V'chol hachnasa. Go ahead.
V'chol hachnasa.
He gam ken
yitzia. Bekesh al makom shotzia mimenu.
Hachefetz. Alright, so in other words, there's no objective hotza and hachnasa. So those are not objective terms. Hotza and hachnasa are not objective terms. Because every hotza is also hachnasa, and every hachnasa is also hotza. Just depends on whether you're talking about the place that you're coming from or the place you're going to. Right? Correct? Like when you come into New York, it says entering New York. Could say leaving New Jersey. But
this time of course.
Go ahead.
Ella Shemin Haga Mishnah Likros Tiltu Hadavar Mirshus Yachid Lushus Harabim Hutza Vakirta Mirshus Rabim Lushus Yachid Hachnasa.
Okay, so he says there's a minhag over here. There's a minhag of the Mishnah to do what? To call carrying or moving a thing from the Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim Hotza, and taking something from the Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus HaYochid Hachnasa. That's a minag. V'al zeh haminag yomru machnes u'motzi b'chol zeh ha'inyan. So in other words, that's, because the Mishnah does use those terms, right? In a few cases over there, it says the ani is machnes, right? Noto misocha v'hotzi, right? Noto misocha v'hichnes. So it does use these words of hotzi and hichnes. But the Rambam is saying that really there's no objective. If I say someone was motzi, there's no objective way of understanding, of knowing what that means. There's no definitive, it's not a definitive term, right?
In terms of changing your rishus, it's definitive.
In terms of describing the mice, it's not definitive, right? But what's the minhag? What's the minhag based on? Did they flip a coin? What's the minhag based on?
In the colloquial though, when you go from outside to inside, you usually refer to that as a problem.
Why is that? I mean, you're right. We usually do. I think everybody would agree with the minhag of the Mishnah that taking something from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, you would call bringing that in, taking it in, and vice versa, you'd call taking it out. So what does that show you? Why does that minhag exist? Because what?
It's your framework.
So our framework is what? Is that the inside is the main place. Right? What?
It's not really the main place, but because it's yours, it's the main place.
What's that?
The Orient.
In other words, Hotzah and Achnosa are terms relative to Makom. Right? And the Rambam is saying that every Hotzah is Achnosa and every Achnosa is Hotzah. So how do you have a definitive... how do you make them into definitive terms? Definitive terms means, say, if you have an objective inside, if you have a set inside and a set outside, correct? Let me put it in a way. Sometimes it's hard to explain things too, almost too obvious. But, in other words, the point is like this. That in terms of the object, there's no objective Hotzah and Achnosah. Okay? The object is in a place, and that's its place. Now you're taking it from its place, and you're putting it in a new place. Right? So it just depends on which aspect of the Maisa with regard to the object you're referring to. Right? But in order to have an objective terminology of Hotzah and Achnosah, you need to have places defined without regard to objects. Right? Mm. You need to say this is the inside and this is the outside. Not this is the place of the object now and this is the place where the object will be. You understand? If you're using terminology based on the object, somewhat maybe it's a little counterintuitive, because if you would use objective terminology, it would be subjective in this case. Right?
But why not leave it like that?
Object-oriented terminology is subjective. I just try to keep you on your toes. Keep you on your toes.
Why not leave it like that? It was just the...
Hold on. So, right? So, in terms of the object, it depends what you mean. If you're talking about the effect, if you're talking about the Akira, right, then you'd say you were motzi the object. If you're basically talking about the Hachnasa, you'd say you were machnes the object. Right, but the Tana has terminology that that are absolute. So how is that possible? That's only possible because you define an inside and an outside without reference to the object. So what's the inside is the Rishus HaYachid and the outside is the Rishus HaRab. So now, whenever an object goes from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRab, it's going outside, and whenever it goes the other way, it's going inside. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, why does the Tana take that terminology? Yeah, go ahead. That's your question.
Yeah.
Why does he use that terminology? He says, "V'al minhag ze yomru machnas u'motzi b'chol ze ha'inun." Yeah. So why does he use the terminology? That's the minhag of the Tana. So the minhag of the Tana is based on the derech, is based on the human perspective. Based on the human perspective. Okay.
One simple thing is it's easy to remember the cases if you're familiar with if you think of it in those terms.
But he's saying, in other words, saying in terms of the object, there's really no way to go. But the Tana takes the standpoint of the person, and on that in that framework, you can have a terminology. Okay. Okay. Go ahead. Not to say exactly why, but he's saying that you can do that.
All right.
Go ahead. Right. See that's the thing that I'm saying. That if you have a pinim and a chutz, that means you're referring to the places. Right? You're giving a status, you're giving a definition to the places. So now you'll have an objective machnes and motzi. As long as you take it out of the framework of the object and into the framework of the places, and you can identify this as in and that is out, then you'll have an objective machnes and motzi. But if you just go from the standpoint of the object, then it's purely subjective. Right? So that's why Rambam has these two categories to come together. The Tana has a machlis and a motzi, and he has a pinim and a chutz. They're tied together. Go ahead. Okay, good. So whenever it says Potter, Rosh Lomer, Potter min Amisvich, Yischaev Malchus, Behechrich, and we maze it. Aval Elbe Hilchos, Yaduos, Shamad and Potter, Alderach Shita of Haloshon, VLP, Shumutter, Alphabet Shumutter. So sometimes it says, in certain known places, it says Potter as somewhat of a borrowed language. Now it's not a definitive Potter. It's like a homonym. The Od Neor Aleihem Kishenizgrim. The Ram will let you know. Okay. Neimar Lo Amar Oni Ubalabayis Lo Amar Ish Echad Omi Bereshus Harab and Ish Echad Omi Bereshus Yachid. Yeah. Zayi Lechos Derech Kitzar.
So in that case.
Vishayi Sarach Lo Amar Ha Ish Omi Bereshus Harab and Mako Amru Oni Im Kain the Torah Lona Milachas. Yeah. Go ahead, what?
In the case where he's talking about different usages of pater,
mm-hmm.
So he's saying usually it doesn't actually mean fully pater.
Always right. It means, the real definitively it means pater also.
Right.
But there are certain cases exception. Where it uses it in a, you might say, what? A, Right, in a non-definitive way, yeah?
Right, and he's just pointing out that... Oh, okay,
that's what I was thinking.
As in this Mishnah. Right. In this Mishnah, when it says, the Ani is chayv and Balabai is potter, that's one of the cases. It means mutter. No. The Ani is chayv and Balabai is potter, it means mutter.
Oh, that means... Oh, okay.
Right?
But then it has both
cases. Mm-hmm. It has both, yeah. Go ahead.
Where's the thing?
Oh, so the Ani and the Balabayas is just a short way of referring to the case, right? It has nothing to do with their economic status.
Instead of saying,
Ha'ish Ha'omeh Rosh Hashanah, or Ha'ish Ha'omeh Rosh Hashanah, it uses an example. An example that has that description built into it. Go ahead.
From what? From
where is it? Now he says, look at Zumah Shechaivo!
Ransel, the Vidin Hotza, versus Solicious. Vimhai Minuri, the Sil, Avos Malachos.
So it's already in Avos Malachos. It already has Motzi Mershus Rishus and Avos Malachos. So why does it start with it over here? It says in Avos Malachos, Motzi Mershus Rishus. That's what it says there. The Fish is Zosha Malachi, he Nimtseis Todir. It's interesting Rambam. Ubo yichshelu bnei adam ala rov v'fisha einam tzrichem bo leklum. You don't need anything special to be over the iser hotzah. It can happen. It's very common. That's the first tosus. It goes through all different possible reasons of why. Same kind of questions. Why is it here first?
What does that mean? You don't need anything special. I mean,
you don't need like a needle and thread.
But like, what about writing? Aren't those
you
mundane?
You need also. You need a special tool. You need a.
As opposed to just. Stum, taking anything.
Right, this is the one malacha that anything can apply, any object can apply to this malacha.
It's conceptual.
Right? So, what do you think Rambam means? So, why does that go first? He's saying it's because it's Tadir. It's Tadir and it's the most prevalent and most prone to occur. So, there's a certain priority. It has a certain priority of necessity. It's an interesting thing. You want to learn one thing, right? You want to learn one thing that will prevent you from being over practically most Isurei Shabbos? Learn Hotza. Right? Interesting.
I would think of Bishul. Because everyone cooks, you don't necessarily have to be carrying things, but everyone has to be cooking.
Everyone has to be cooking.
We do that beforehand, we're not cooks.
No, it's not like they went out and put statistics as to which malacha comes up most time that people are nitshar. It's that conceptually this is the malacha hot tadir because
it's hard to randomly have fire.
It's like a totally It's a non-particular activity.
Right. A non-particular activity, correct.
That could be defined
like
by
anything you do, whether you do this or that can involve with God as well.
He does seem to be saying, though, it is something which also statistically is. And that's what Tosfos definitely says when he gives the same. He says it's just like Bava Kamma, right?
And you carry someone else? That's an action.
Dibira Behove, right? Doesn't Hove mean like the actual
common case?
Yeah.
You could pick something up inside out all day, but you don't have to be over this.
The Dover Hove Rogul Ashas Lashonos
Tchila. Rambam says that it doesn't require special kelim. That's just explaining why people are nichshol in it, right? But the reason is people are nichshol in it.
Right.
Yeah,
also, I think he means saying, in other words, what's the idea that there's no special kli associated with it?
It's not people don't associate it as a process.
There's nothing in the Maisa to remind you not to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. When you're holding your loom.
I know there's a fire. I know fire is a bad thing already. That's the beginning of a bad thing. Right?
Yeah.
I know there's something. I know there's something on Shabbos with fire. I don't know what it is exactly, but I know there's something with fire. But everything you hold is subject to Otsar, and it's not associated. There's nothing that triggers a Hazkara. Right?
That's why you have like people who are blatantly over Otsar. Like, it's just like they can't believe, like, come on, just, you know, moving this around like four almost, you know, pushing a stroller.
Right,
that can't
right.
Be Otsar.
That's true. That's what I just saw. I was reading that I was reading this there's a sefer called Amuna Amunah v'Bitachon, Chaznish. So in one of the chapters he has over there, that what is Amunah? He says that you need a certain Amunah in Halacha. You have to have a certain Amunah in Halacha. And the only way you get that Amunah is by learning all the details of Halacha. Not enough just to learn general ideas of mitzvahs. So he says, for instance, people don't believe that if you sell your kelim before Pesach to a guy, that you need to be tovel them. They just don't believe that.
Convenient.
Well, what else? Here's another example. They don't believe that if you shake off your beged, you can be over in the Sederaisa. Rashi holds that.
Be
minayer a beged is like a borer.
What's minayer?
To shake it.
Oh.
Like if it's dusty and you want to make it new. So he says there's certain things that people just don't believe it in their heart, like you're saying, you know, like what am I doing? You're like this? That's this the reason? Right.
So what is
so like you're gonna tell the tallest is a good example. You can tell me I can't pull my. What are you talking about? I can't pull my.
It doesn't compare to the other malachos.
It happens to be not so simple that it's a problem. But anyway.
Right. I know. But at a certain point, you know.
So why is it, Asher?
Why is Otsa Asar?
Yeah.
If it's so normal.
Compared to the other...
It's a good question. It's a good question. Right. It's a good question. It's a malacha grua problem. That's the second answer, right? The Ode, he says that.
The Tam Sheni...
V'lamdeinu shi malacha. Afal pi shenira mimena ena malacha. Alkei nikdima mahazir alel lefi shehi midrasha asir. Kamoshi yizbar. That it doesn't seem like a malacha. That was, what are the two answers? The two different answers, right? The first one is, like we're saying, there's nothing, even if you know the halacha, there's nothing in it that's gonna necessarily remind you not to do it, right? But the second thing is he's saying there's a certain it needs a special limud to enforce that it is a malacha. It's a funny kind of a.
Is he saying that that's why it's from a drasha as well, or is it because it's
no.
It's a confusing way he brings in the drasha thing, right?
You saying that what? No, because all the other avos are not from a drasha. Because none of the other avos are from a drasha.
What does it have to do with thinking that it's, well, not thinking that it's a malacha?
Apparently that's why you need a drasha.
That's right, yeah.
Right.
Meaning,
the others have more than a drasha or less than a drasha?
They don't have drasha.
The other ones are, in other words, you take the Mishkan and you go through the process of the Mishkan, and there are things that the mind tells you are considered malachos. Right? But Hotzah, the mind wouldn't tell you it's a malacha. You need the Pasuk to tell you that's a malacha. Two. Right? That's like Tosis over there. That's that whole first Tosis. Not the first one, but that Tosis about the Malacha Gro. And then Ram himself in the Yad mentions it. You have the Ram in the Yad? He says that even though all the Malachos are from Halacha Moshe Sinai, there's a drush on this one. Doesn't explain why, but he doesn't mention it. Because it is a,
This is one of the 39.
Right? Yeah. Hotzov achnos la merushus la rishus me avos malachos. The Alphabet called Gufei Torah mi pi Moshe mi Sinai Namru. Funny Rama. Even though this malacha, along with all the Gufei Torah, were given to Moshe at Sinai, Harehu Omer bat Torah, Ish v'isha al yasu od malacha l'trumas HaKodesh, v'yikolei ha'om mehovi, holamata shehava malacha koreosa. Even though everything was given at Sinai, Atan's in the Ram, exactly. Nonetheless, there's a separate pasuk to tell you that Hava is called a malacha.
So that idea is to bring extra prominence to it because it itself is like not something you think to be a malacha.
But is this for, this one is, I mean, the first one I understand. The first one is like a practical concern. This one doesn't seem like a practical concern, right?
Right. Especially since he's saying that practical concern is, or that concern is already addressed by the fact that it comes from a drasha.
Right.
And the Tana is just mirroring it.
Why is that a practical?
What do you mean by practical?
I mean to say, now is there two reasons here, right? There are two reasons. The first reason is practically that people should not be over the Isser of Hotza, right? So you put it first, so that if a guy, like a regular guy knows the first Rashi in the Parsha. Right? So you should know the first Mishnah in Shabbos. As long as he started a little bit of Shabbos, he'll know already Otsa. That's practical, right? But it doesn't seem like the second answer is practical. Second answer is like the system of Torah. It's like the ideas of malacha. That it's a strange form of a malacha. I don't think the Balabas. He cares. I mean, he's not going to not do it because he doesn't think it's... Exactly, he's going to not do it because he doesn't know about it.
Also, were it a strange thing, then shouldn't it not be the first? Because the first should be maybe something that is in line with all of Shabbos, whereas this seems to be somewhat foreign. Meaning, this is definitely separate from the group.
That's like you're putting a spin on it.
Well, I'm saying like even meaning if it's not a practical issue, I would think even the more so that it shouldn't be here because of this reason.
Why?
Because this reason separates it from the group. Meaning if you were separating it from the group because
there
was a special concern.
He does say
here,
the only thing is he does say al kain hikdima lahazir aleha. What do you mean lahazir aleha? What's his lashon
of it? Careful.
So the first was the fifth shemalacha zimitzu harbe avad nechshalma robim nishe enetzu chakenim v'shenis lo amdenim shehi malacha alpha pisha nirish she'ena malacha lefikach hikdima lechazuk ha'enyan lefisha hi mi darsha asya kamo shizbar.
Lechizuk ha'enyan, right. It's a funny thing. To strengthen it. What does it mean? I mean, the guy's... And Michael's question. So, and if it was in the end, the guy wouldn't take it so seriously. It's a funny.
Yeah. He wouldn't see it.
See, he's not saying he wouldn't see it. That's the first answer. Answer is that he wouldn't see it.
Because it could be that there's two ideas in having at the beginning of the stuff. Yeah. One is that you'll just practically encounter it, And the other is that there's a certain prominence that you attach to the beginning of the Masechta.
Why should this have a prominence? Why is this the crown jewel of Shabbos? Because you wouldn't believe it tomorrow. I think you're right, though. But I think... Yeah, go ahead.
You know, it represents the idea that in terms of Melech HaShabbos, it's not like an intuitive matter, that you can just go in and say, yeah, I have this general idea of change or, like, work. Right. It has nothing to do with the practical Isser V'Heter of Shabbos.
It wants to demonstrate, right, it wants to show you Chizuk HaInyan is the whole Inyan of Shabbos. The whole Inyan of Melech. As you really, from this strange case, you really reveal the underlying idea. Now, it's not like Michael was saying. If it was the other way, like you were saying, it would mean that it's really an exception to Malacha. Like, here's the real Malachos, and this one is like an exception. Right? I think he's saying, no, you put it in the beginning to demonstrate that the whole Hilchos Shabbos is really conceptual. All Malacha, the Malacha is really conceptual problem, not a problem of creating things. Not a problem of results. Not that we don't want. It's not that Hashem doesn't want buildings going up in Shabbos. Right? Because Hotzah is nothing's happening. Nothing's really happening. So you see that it's really the underlying problem is not the thing that's being built. It's a certain conceptual idea of Malacha.
You can only really show this through Hotzah.
You can only show it through Hotzah because Hotzah doesn't have any product. So you can really reveal that it's the underlying, it's a certain conceptual involvement, not really a physical involvement.
Are you learning the Rambam's statement of chizuk, the malacha of Hotzah needs chizuk, or that the entire system of malacha needs chizuk?
I'm saying it's the entire system. From Hotzah, it gives a chizuk to the idea of Hotzah, which really exists in all of the malachos. Right?
Not necessarily.
It's a limud. The first one, though, is there are two limudim. The first one is a practical limud, not to do it. The second one is a limud that sets the tone for the whole masechta. This is not a book of how to build things, or how not to build things on the right. It's not a construction manual. And then it says, don't do any of this. Okay.
Not necessarily from the Rambam's words, but we were just considering yesterday that immediately you encounter Hotzah, and that seems to be a self-explanatory concept. But right away, like, they break it down to know the halakha idea of Akira and Hanacha has all these components too.
Right, so it is a complicated malacha, because it has two parts. It's a two-part malacha. It's hard. That makes it complicated, the two parts.
It's like what Tosha says, that the Tana wanted to teach it first, and it was tough, because it has so many principles that the Yad is like much more than all the
You know it also is like, where is that Tosus? Which one
first,
is that?
First Tosus, right.
Which answer is that?
I think it's his first answer.
First answer?
Yeah, it's the Hotzah Chabibale, Lakume.
Where is it?
Mishum de Vimishna Zushmaina Kalambaram Hotzah, Achnasa de Anivasha, Kadwina Akira Anapa.
Right.
Vishnashatu Kater,
Rashalam. It has a lot of principles of Shabbos in it.
Right.
It has a lot of principles of Shabbos in it. Yeah. There's another. There are a few Gemaras like that that have that type of idea. Can't recall it. You know, the Gemara says, "Why does the Tana?" Oh, right. It's in the Mishnah in Nachalos. Yesh Nochlam, right? Yesh Nochlam.
Yeah, Chaviv.
It's Chaviv because it's come from a Medrash. More Chaviv things have, since it was Osi from right. What was it that the Yorish from the Av, from that the Av is Yorish from the Ben?
Right.
That's only known through a drasha. So it's chavav to the Tana because it's known through a drasha. What does that mean? It means that that's the underlying process. Drasha. It's chavav because it demonstrates the thing that is considered great in its pure form. Right?
Does he use that term here?
Tosa says it's chavav.
No, but in terms of, because he says also Shemi Darsha Asiya Kamoshi Spar. He says specifically because it's from a Darsha also.
Yeah, but that's for the Chizuk of the Indian, he was saying.
Right? That's a good question. I mean, why does he put that in? He's saying that's why you. He's saying that. I think he's saying that that shows you that it's different because it's from a Darsha. You wouldn't have known it without the Darsha. I mean, a similar thing. It's a concept, I don't know. It's a good question. But. Yeah. By the way, just I think I mentioned it before, but it's I just mentioned it over here that we're talking about the Amuna in what's a Malacha. You're saying it doesn't seem like a bad thing. You do this or that, right? Yeah, that was my shot in the Mekosh Shetzim, right? I don't know if you remember that. What was he doing over there? Because why was the guy? He went out to be Mekosh Shetzim, and it was like he was Mechayev himself Misa. I mean, he did it Afal Pikein, right? But I think the pshat is that it was after Korach also, right? It was after they were after the Meraglim. That he was really it was after the Meraglim. That was really a rebellion. He wanted to show. He thought that he would demonstrate that the system is too severe. It's not right. He's trying to make a public statement. You're
going to
kill me over this. This is what the Torah is. I put a couple of sticks together and I have to die. Mm. Right? He did it on purpose. He specifically went out to the Kosher Shetzim in order to, he thought that the time was right that people were angry with Moshe because they didn't get into the Eretz Yisrael. And they're going to blame him. His system is too severe. And it was an evil rebellion. The people would rally around him. They wouldn't be able to tolerate that type of a system. Someone else tried that recently. Doesn't work. Never works. That was Kevorkian. He tried that same plan. He's sitting in jail. He purposely helped somebody. He did more. He kept doing more and more and more. But eventually he actually pushed the button, I think, to kill the person who was in pain. And he said, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to defy any jury to convict me. Because how could they... I'm going to show that the law is unfair.
So
thing is, the common man doesn't relate to it that way. Looks at the guy like a nut. And doesn't feel threatened. You don't feel threatened by the law. He's trying to invoke a certain thing like, hey, we're all threatened by this. You know?
The common man
doesn't feel that way. I feel like you're crazy. I'm not good. Why would I go out and collect wood? What do I need to do that for?
Yeah, I'd get in trouble.
But does it mean even though there still is an underlying feeling of that? It's just you're saying it doesn't.
I think it's something that breaks your identification. Yeah. The fact that you're that crazy, that you're purposely doing something like this, breaks a certain identification.
Well,
anyway,
I mean, like, I think that's like kind of his point, meaning like he's trying to demonstrate that it's actually nothing, it has no hold on you, but the other people, they still have its hold on them, so they just relate to him like he's crazy.
Right. Anyway, okay, good. What else do we have here? Now there's a Tam Shiatzrichu Lomar Yitzio Sashavis, right? Is that what we're up to? Good. Jeremy. In other words, the Tana, it's a funny thing. So the Tana right away, he's not going with his minug. Right? He's not going with his minug.
He's going to prefer both.
Because he calls everything Yitzios HaShabbos. Right? So once you're doing that already, why do you call them Yitzios? Why can't you call them Hachnosos? Once you're referring to everything, that means that it's subjective. Right? That you're going by the object. So we just said before, if you go by the object, every Yitzhiya is an Achnosa. So why doesn't it say Achnosa Shabbos? Why does it pick, it has to pick one, why does it pick the one of Yitzhiyos?
Right, can you call Yitzhiya, he Achnosa Kasher Barnet, okay.
So it's appropriate, it's saying it's not inaccurate because you can refer to everything as Yitzhiya, right? So it's not a, everything could be a Yitzhiya.
Right.
So it's not a problem. It's not an illogical statement.
No.
Right? But why does he do it? Go ahead.
The Ode, ki ochas derech ha-nekra, ki ha-mutim rishus rishus,
lamadnu oson midivrei Hashem Yisbarach Shomer ish v'ish al-yasu od melacha, shumas sekodesh, v'ikali am mehavi. So the pasuk is, lamadnu ki avosam mashayu ma'ivim Tikra Malocha, like in the Yad, he has the same one, right? Vayim Evian Me'ar Leim L'machne Leviya Vayim Eshus Yachad Eshus Rabim V'hiot Zok Moshe B'Yarno L'fika Chomer Yitzios Shabbos. Yeah. So he says that what? That the reason why the Tana picks You know, it wants to pick one lashon, apparently saying, because it's easier to have one word in the beginning, right? It's more complicated. If you'd have to say yitzios and achnosos, it would be a whole complicated formulation, right? So it's going to take one. Now, which one is it going to take? He's saying it's giving deference. It's an interesting thing. To what? Mikra. To the case in the Torah. Now, why is it? And he calls that case in the Torah a hotzah. But why is that a hotzah? It could, every hotzah is achnasah, right? No. It like comes a little bit circular, right? In other words, it says it wants to call them all yitzios because the case in the Torah is a case of hotzah. Why? Because they came from their tents.
That's his minhag.
To the Leviah. To the Machan Leviah.
He's
so it's a funny thing. So he's saying, based on the minhag, right? It's complicated.
You read the pasuk as a hotzah.
Based on the minhag, we would call the pasuk a hotzah, right? And therefore,
the
and therefore, when we want to have one term for all of them, which of course is against the minhag, right?
Right,
right.
We're going to use the term pasuk that we call a hotzah when referring to going from Rosh Hashanah to Shavuot. It's a little funny, right?
Yeah.
Is all in? It's right up your alley. It's kind of yeah, so what kind of a sense is that? What kind of sense is that? It's a funny thing, right? He's saying that what it wants to give, it wants to give what? It wants to... what's the whole idea anyway? What's the whole basic idea? Because the pasuk says hotzah. It wants to show the source in the mikra, he's saying. It's interesting. It wants to give a certain allusion to the source in the pasuk. But the allusion is only going to make sense based on an objective terminology. Otherwise, there's no illusion. Mm-hmm. Unless you have a certain terminology, you're not going to be able to allude to the case in the Torah. Mm-hmm. So, based on the terminology, the subject, based on the minhag, the terminology of the minhag, it will choose which one to call all of them to allude to it. Okay, but that's based on the idea that the Mishnah is coming from the Torah, right? Tana Hechenkoi. Okay, go ahead. But it's also to show you this idea that he was saying, that Hotzah comes from a drasha. That's part of the thing too. That's part of the reason why it starts with Hotzah. And like the Ram mentioned, because it comes from a drasha, so now it wants to allude to the drasha too. Go ahead. Vim Tikshav Atoma.
Ma
Nesra.
Shalom
Adnu.
What?
So now, that we mentioned, now that he brings up the fact that the pasuk mentions hotzah, right? So then, why is achnas asr? Totally mentions hotzah.
How can you have a question like that?
Well,
how could you be osir?
There was no difference. I mean, like that was the first thing he said. Well, the first thing we read that the hotzah and achnas are the same exact thing. It's just the minhag to refer to them as different things.
That's true. But so then you would say the Issur Shabbos is to go from this rishus to that rishus. You wouldn't have a terminology like that. You'd say whatever terminology you'd say Me Rishus HaRayachit Lushus HaRab is also. You find another way to say it.
Okay.
Right? I mean, the Torah is describing a case. He's just saying when you say the word Otsa, you don't know what you're referring to. You don't necessarily know what you're referring to, unless you're basing it on the human situation, right? The human condition. But that doesn't mean when the Torah says don't take it from your tent to the Machane Leviah, that it's not describing a particular case. Of course it is. Okay, go ahead. Hikshua Bigamar.
The Amram Mikhdi Gemara.
Amram Mikhdi Gemara. That's the Gemara's answer. It's a Gemara. Because it's a Gemara. Mali Achnasa Mali Otsa. I don't know if our Gemara has the exact same logic, right? Does it say it's Gemara? Who? Does it say it's Gemiri? What does it say? Svara? Who it says? Svara. Yeah. Rash, the Gemara, the Rambam had different views. A Gemara. So what does it say? It says, what's the difference? The Gemara says, what's the difference? What's the difference if you're machlus or you're motzi? So what does it mean, Gemara? It means, Dover Torah Olav HaSvara. Something that teaches a Svara. His gear is a little different, right? It just means a Svara. Lefish Inyah HaKnosav HaTzah Echad Kasher Biyana. Now he goes back to what we mentioned before. That they are the same thing, like we mentioned before. Zeho Mashavini Lakdiyum Zuchum B'Zeha Makam. Yeah, so what is the answer to the Gemara's question? I mean, we just got through saying that no, the Torah is describing one case. It's describing going from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. And now he says, the Gemara says, yeah, but there's no difference. I mean, it's a different thing. It is a different thing.
I mean, it seems from his lesson.
Yeah.
Over here, that, he says, V'inyan Gemara hu davash asvara mechavaisa. So,
something that the logic dictates.
Right, in other words, it's true, it's a different thing.
Logic necessitates.
The thing which makes you chayev about this thing is going to be just as applicable in this other instance. So you can't tell me you're chayev here and not there. Even though it's true they're different, in terms of chayev, there won't be a difference.
He's saying that once the Torah teaches you from the ohel to the machaneh, right? He's saying then there's no way to logically differentiate between that and from the machna theo. Right? But why not? I mean,
isn't that the basic thing that if the Torah is the sefer chokhmah, you can't just say that a particular that has no. I mean,
this is really against Tosa's whole derech, right? Because Tosa's you need a pasuk for. I mean, well, I think in the end it comes around. I think in the end it comes around with
Svara.
They learn it from the Mishkan and the Svara, right?
Yeah.
It comes very complicated. One for the onion, one for the Asher.
Right, but that's on Hotzah, right? It says you need two for Hotzah. But yeah, but okay. Yeah, so what are you saying?
I'm just saying in general, like, don't we always, you always assume that the Torah is speaking in not in particulars, but it's teaching like a universal idea. Like whenever, like, you have a mamatina, you say, oh, just like over here, you know, someone that does it in Chayim Mitzvah, so it's every case it's like that. You don't assume that the Torah is speaking in particular. So, once the mind sees that it's not conceptually different, there's no reason to say, oh no, for whatever reason, the Torah is just saying, this particular thing is in this area.
But is it so indistinguishable? Taking something from the inside to the outside and the outside to the inside?
I'm just saying, because doesn't Gemara end up saying that Hachnasa is a Tawadah?
Well, that's, the Ram doesn't seem to say that way, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're saying
the Ram doesn't seem, right? The Ram in that, the Ram I read you, he seems to say that they're all, but it's true, the Gemara says, Tawadah. Nafkamina Diovich Deyavos. Right. I'm not so sure that works out with the Tawadah. I'm not so sure if the Ram agrees with that. What are you saying, Max?
No, I'm just saying, if you're saying it's a non, the whole malacha is a non-physical change in the object. You know, you're changing.
Right.
Let's say the focus is still the object. You know. So.
Right. Can I say that, Rami? Yeah, I'm sorry.
So if the focus is the object, you know, then you could say that the rishus is, you know, what rishus it's coming from and where it's going is very important to the malacha. You know what I mean? I'm saying I'm arguing with Levi. Like.
The Rambam does seem to say they're both avos. He says hotzah v'achnasa mirshus l'rishus malacha me avos malacha hi. That he counts that as one thing. Hotzah v'achnasa mirshus l'rishus malacha singular me avos malacha hi malachos hi. It is one malacha, right? And then the tolda he says is hazorek or hamoshit is those are toldos motzi. He always refers to it as Merishus Hazorik Merishus Lurishus, or a motion that Reza told us, Moshe to
motion?
Pushing. And also he says, what he considers Mavir Dalai Lama's Merishus Arabim he seems to count that as the av too. Because it says v'chein lomdu mipi hashmua shemarve b'shesarava mitchilas arba l'sof arba harehu kimotzi mershus l'rshus v'chayev. Gemara says it's a lacha moshe m'sinai, but the Ram seems to learn the lacha moshe m'sinai is to, just to tell you that it's like it's another case of motzi mershus l'rshus. Really, he seems to have the av is motzi mershus l'rshus. Doesn't matter going in, doesn't matter going out. And lacha moshe m'sinai tells you dalet amos is like rshus l'rshus.
What about Rosh Hashiach?
Is that the right? Is that enough? No, that's nothing. But yeah, that does seem to be a big question over here. I don't really want to get into those kinds of questions, though. But anyway, so, yeah, so what are you saying?
I was just saying that I wanted to, like, argue with Levy, because if you're saying that the whole malacha is a non-physical change in the object, you know, and the way that that comes about is through a change of, through a shin or a shus. So you can argue that, you know, where Rosh Hashanah was coming from and where it's going is very central to the halacha. You know what I mean? Like, I was thinking that the very fact that
you put a svara? I mean, if you could attach a svara to right. Which way it's to
well,
which
I just want, no, it's just I was thinking that the fact that a Rosh Hashanah, you know, puts up from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, where you
right.
really are changing the Rosh Hashanah object, and the fact that that's not a daraisa, that just I think that shows you that it's very, you know, where what Malkum it was, like the type of Rosh Hashanah it was, and the type of Rosh Hashanah it's going to. Is very central to the malacha.
So maybe it's a kasha. I mean, that's a kasha on you? That's a kasha on him, you're saying?
Right, so maybe it's, you could
so
say
maybe it's dafka from Rosh Hashanah Rabbin
right.
versus Yachid.
I'm not saying that that's definitely so, but I'm just saying you could go that way. That's
But let's go back to the minhag that we have. The minhag that we have is to call the Rosh Hashanah Yachid the Pnim and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin the Chutz. Right? So doesn't that itself show you there's a difference? I mean, it's a difference. Something inside, something out. Taking something inside, taking something outside.
But that's not necessarily a difference from the point of view of the object.
But maybe that is a difference in terms of the malacha.
But wasn't that our point though, in terms of how a yitzir is always a achnasa, because in terms of the object.
But the Torah doesn't say don't do a yitzir and don't do achnasa. The Torah says don't come from your house to the machne levir. The Rambam is just talking in terminologies before. He's not talking that that's. Just because the terminology is that way, it doesn't mean the malacha has to be that way.
No, what I'm saying, but we were saying that the minhag isn't really based on it. It's not based on that.
But the minhag does show you something is a reality to man, isn't it? The inside is different than the outside. The house is different than the street.
Can you just explain why you're asking the question from the minhag and not from the pasuk itself? Like, I don't understand why we can't.
Oh, because he's saying the pasuk itself is just one case, but it's indistinguishable, going inside to outside and outside to inside.
Okay.
It's indistinguishable, but I say no, by the very fact that we have terms inside and outside shows you we do distinguish it. Man doesn't see going from the tent to the street as shini rishus. You see going from inside to outside. Mm-hmm. Torah says don't do that. Why would that automatically mean to me? Well, of course, it also means going from outside to inside. No, as long as these have objective ideas, this is inside, that's outside, and I don't just see Rishios. If I just saw Rishios, then the minig wouldn't be able to take hold. Wouldn't be able to have a minig like that.
You kind of have the cases in the Mishnah.
Well, you wouldn't be able to say, you wouldn't be able to have the words Pnim and Chutz. And you wouldn't be able to have the terminology of take it out. Right? Someone says, your mother says, take out the garbage. Then you go outside and bring it in and say, well, I took it out from the place it was.
No one intelligent.
What?
No one intelligent.
But I think the thing is, though, that, and the Rambam doesn't really give you much to go on here, but I think that if you would want to make the chilek, you'd have to have an idea associated with the chilek too. In other words, you have to say, you can't, I think Levy is right also, can't just say there's an arbitrary idea of inside to outside. You have to have there's an arbitrary din of inside to outside. There has to be a concept associated with the inside to outside to make it important. Of course we know there's a difference between inside and outside. But essentially it's a shinei rishus. Unless you can show me there's a certain qualitative difference in the shinui rishus from the inside to the outside. So you could say that the inside, why do we call the inside, why do we call Rosh Hashanah Pnim and the street chutz? Because man's place is the house. That's man's mukom. Right? the place for man, the habitat, is a part of man's needs. It's one of his needs. Right? So he has to have a place that he calls home. That's going to be his pnim, and everything else is chutz. Right? So you could say that the malacha is, and the idea of pnim and chutz always means, pnim means the place where the thing should be, and chutz means the place where the thing shouldn't be. Right? So you'd have to say, if it's only going from the house to the street, you have to say it's taking things out of its place. But that's not true. I mean, there are some things that belong outside, and you take them out. And that would also be a malacha.
But
in other words, you can't make, there's no consistent logical system that you could work out based on these ideas. Because let's say there are things that go in the front outside the house. If you take them out, you'll also chayev. So you say, well, why? If you're going to tell me that there's a separate idea of pnim to chutz, the idea has to be removing the thing from its place. For some reason, Torah says don't remove the thing, don't do a shini rishus that takes the thing out of its place. But that law, that isser applies to every object, and there are certain things that belong outside. So it's just going to be a contradictory thing. There's no way to have a consistent. In other words, there's no way to make a consistent conceptual idea out of pnim to chutz.
Right, but even if you say it's taking a thing out of its place, that's how you explain pnim to chutz. That would also explain chutz to pnim. That formulation. Because certain things belong outside, so you would say pnim as well.
Yeah, the whole thing would break down. The whole thing would break down.
Right,
the whole thing would break down. So you must say that there's no concept that you can associate to pnim from pnim to chutz that would be objective and definitive and exclusive. There'd always be cases that are not going to work out, and yet the Torah doesn't say only certain things. It's an absolute din, so it would be an impossible thing. I don't know if that's
I just don't get why it's like, if I understand now, like we know that everything you take out is viable, but if it would have just had chutzah as what your viable process, take things out of its place.
Right.
So let's say it's something inside that was supposed to be outside. So why wouldn't you just say that? I wouldn't be outside, because it would be taking something out of its place. I don't see why it's not.
Because the Torah doesn't say what it's talking about when it says don't bring anything out. It's an absolute statement. Don't bring anything out. Now you'd have to try to understand what does it mean. But it is an absolute statement. You have to try to understand what does it mean. And there's no absolute concept that goes with that direction. So you must say, since we know the statement is absolute, and there's no absolute concept that's associated with this. So it must be including both. Yeah.
There is an absolute concept that's associated with it. Household objects. Objects that belong inside.
That's what he's asking.
Yeah, so I don't understand why it's not absolute.
Why can't you set that up?
Because the maisa that it's telling you is non-restricted. It doesn't say, there's no miut about what it's talking about. It's an absolute statement.
It's only talking about the case of chutzah, which is the case.
No, it's talking,
an inside
it's talking
object
about
the
a physical
outside.
Operation. It's talking about a physical operation. Don't take things from the house to the outside. Now you're trying to take the svara to limit the very statement. That we don't do. We say the statement is absolute. Unless you can find an absolute svara for this absolute statement, we must interpret it as both directions.
Why is this thing limiting the statement?
Because he would say you'd only be chayav on those objects that are household objects that belong inside.
You don't
say when the pasuk is unrestricted.
Right.
Doesn't say there's no miut on any type of object. Everything it says don't bring out. Right? So now you can't go back and take this. Now you have a choice. Now you have to say, how does it make sense? So he's saying you don't take the way that makes to say it makes sense and then restrict its very meaning. You take the other way that keeps it as an absolute statement. Right? Not that there is no possible svara. You're right. The Gemara didn't ask a stupid question. It's possible to have a svara, but that svara would change the very way to read the pasuk. The very directive would have to be a limitation on. Doesn't mean don't bring everything. It means certain things. Okay. So that's what he means. Now it's going to be Hachnosa and Hotsa have to be the same thing, because there's no way to make any qualitative, there's no way to make a svara on the quality of Pnim to Chutz as a specific kind of a change. Because it's not going to be the same for every object. Some objects will be put in their place, some objects will be removed from their place. So what's the Isser? So you must say the Isser is Shinei Rishus. There's no way to keep the objective idea of taking from inside to outside and have that apply in a uniform conceptual way to every single object. Because some things will be qualified by improving them, and some things will be qualified by making them less usable. So what's the malacha? But malacha is a conceptual thing. Malacha has to be a conceptual idea. So there's no one concept that's going to apply to every case if you keep it that way. So it must be the concept is a more basic idea. Shinei Rishus. Changing its quality. Just the change of its quality. Of the quality of place. Not making it, doesn't matter whether it makes it better or worse. Okay? Of course you have to be malacha Shri Fulagufa. That's several questions. It has to be malacha Machsheres. Alright, should we do the Yad now, or should we continue that? Maybe we should do the Gemara. Maybe we should go to the Gemara first.